Please do take a seat and grab your Bibles and turn to that second reading we had, Colossians chapter 1, page 1182. Let me begin by asking, are you satisfied with your Christian life? There'll be those of us this evening who wouldn't call ourselves a Christian, and can I say, I'm just thrilled that you're here. I never assume that everybody at church is a committed Christian, and our Sunday meetings are open to everybody who wants to come to discover more about what the Christian life is about. But in asking this question, I'm targeting those of us here who would call themselves Christians. Are you satisfied with your Christian life? Do you long to experience God in an emotional, tangible way? Do you want to feel God? Do you want to have victory over certain temptations that keep dragging you down? Whatever those temptations may be greed or lust or envy or anger or self-pity, whatever, you can fill in the blank. In short, do you want to know God better, to love him more and be more effective as a Christian? If you do, you are in good company. I imagine that's what all true Christians long for. And in a sense, therefore, the answer to the question, are you satisfied with your Christian life, is always, no, I'm not satisfied. I long to know Christ better. I long to know more of the fullness of his life in me. And that is certainly what the Christians in Colossae wanted. And it was the reason why they were in danger of being led astray by false teachers. And it was because of this real danger of them being led astray that Paul wrote this letter to them. Have a quick look with me. You've got it open at chapter 2, verse 4, where he says, I tell you this, which I presume here refers to the whole of the first part of the letter. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. See, we're starting a new sermon series in this letter this evening, and my hope is that by the end of this series, we will not only be wise to the dangers that these Colossian Christians were facing, but will be hugely encouraged. And so that we may be saying, look, I've got many kind of troubles and issues in my life which give me a huge amount of grief. I may be constantly dissatisfied by the quality of my Christian life, but I am totally satisfied with Jesus. He's supreme and sufficient. And whatever happens, I'm going to keep hanging on to him. Now, this evening, we're looking at just the 8 verses of the letter. And we're going to have a few introductions. We're going to be introduced to Paul. We're going to be introduced to the church in Colossae. But above all, we're going to be introduced to the glorious gospel. So let me just pray and ask God that as we look at his word, he would speak to us from it. So, Father, we come before you and we acknowledge this is your word, your living word to us. And we pray that you will instruct us and build us up in a knowledge and love of you through it. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So first, Paul, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Paul begins by introducing himself as an apostle. And Paul often does that so that both his original readers and all subsequent readers will appreciate the authority with which he writes. In the ancient world, an apostle was someone who was sent to carry a message, and they were sent out with the full authority of the sender. So an apostle of Jesus Christ is someone who's been personally commissioned by Jesus Christ to carry the message of Jesus Christ with the full authority of Jesus Christ. And Paul received that calling and commission when Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road. That's something which you can read about in Acts chapter 9. So Paul's words are not just the opinion of a great missionary of the early church. He is basically like a mouthpiece of Jesus. And when the Colossians read this letter, they and we must receive this teaching as if it is Jesus himself speaking. See, this letter comes to us not just with the authority of Paul, but with the authority of Jesus himself. That's why we say, after reading, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So much for Paul. What do we learn about those to whom he was writing? Well, Paul addresses them as to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Now, I hope you've all got a handout, and on there you'll have a map showing where Colossae was. It's in what is now western Turkey, about 120 miles east of Ephesus, on the which was on the Mediterranean coast. And we can work out how the gospel came to them. In our first reading from Acts 19, we learned how Paul came to Ephesus and began to preach the gospel. As usual, he started in the synagogue, but after 3 months, there were those Jews who refused to believe the good news about Jesus and made Paul unwelcome. And so what Paul did is he took those who had become Christians and hired out a lecture hall of a bloke called Tyrannus. By the way, the name Tyrannus means tyrant. So I dread to think what his lectures were like. Anyway, we're told that every day for 2 whole years, Paul preached and had discussions with people in this lecture hall. And there's one ancient manuscript claims that Paul did this from 11 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If that's the case, the calculation would amount to 3,650 hours of gospel discussion. And as Ephesus was a key port, as you can see there, with roads radiating out from it, it would be no exaggeration when we're told in Acts 19 that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. And what seems to have happened is that Epaphras, who was from Colossae, got converted whilst in Ephesus, and it is he who took the gospel back to his hometown. And wonderfully, by his Holy Spirit, Jesus used Epaphras' ministry to establish a true church there. People heard Epaphras' message about Jesus, which was the same message which Paul had proclaimed, and some were converted. They became different from everyone around him. You see that they were holy to the holy. And that word holy means set apart. They'd been set apart for God and they were faithful. They became believers in Jesus. And as such, they were adopted in God's family. They became Jesus' brothers and sisters. And therefore, Paul's and Timothy's brothers and sisters.